begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God,
have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray to the Lord. For your Spirit to guide, that you center our lives in the water and the Word. That you nourish our souls with your body and blood, let us pray to the Lord. Let us pray to the Lord.
Almighty God, with joy we celebrate the day of our Lord's resurrection. By the grace of Christ among us, enable us to show the power of the resurrection in all that we say and do. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. The first reading this evening is from Acts chapter 4. Verses 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them. For as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let's read Psalm 133 responsively. Will you all please read the bold print? How good and how pleasant it is when kindred live together in unity.
It is like fine oil upon the head, flowing down upon the beard of Aaron, flowing down upon the collar of his robe.
It is like the dew of Hermon, flowing down upon the hills of Zion, for there the Lord has commanded the blessing, life forevermore. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 1, and chapter 2. I declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testify to it. And we declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. We declare to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. And if you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. My sisters and brothers, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Last week we heard from Mark's gospel account of the resurrection a story of an empty tomb and news of Jesus' resurrection. That's all we had in Mark's gospel. Not so much an ending, but an invitation to a new beginning. Now, what we receive in John's gospel today, and what we actually hear every second week of Easter, is what that new beginning looks like when we are in communion with the crucified and resurrected Christ. We are invited to move from death to new life in Christ. Now, the disciples in John chapter 20 are understandably grieving the death of Jesus, and they are understandably afraid. Grief can isolate us, and fear can isolate us. The isolation has the disciples literally and figuratively locked in. They are locked down. When we isolate ourselves from others, we are locked in and locked down physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And this is not how we're designed to live. And this is not what God wants for us. I know that grief and fear can get us stuck, like spinning our tires in the mud. We can't just seem to get out. And the more and more we try to spin our wheels, the more stuck we seem to get. When I've found myself in these types of situations, the reality is that I need help in order to get unstuck. If I sit in isolation and perpetuate in my isolation, I will not be going anywhere. If we continue to proclaim a message of rugged individualism, we will have a society of people isolated and afraid. Isolated and afraid to seek the help they need when they need it. We are isolated, we are stuck, and we are mortal. We don't want to think about death. And that avoidance, ironically, prevents us from truly living. Why? Because the way of Jesus calls us to deal with our mortality. We must come to terms with this and then surrender ourselves to the crucified and risen Christ. We must trust, put our faith in the one who brings us new and everlasting life. In our gospel lesson, the disciples see the crucified and resurrected Christ. The King of the universe has just been betrayed, abandoned, and executed. And this King of the universe shows us a new way, not revenge, but peace. He says to his disciples, "Peace be with you." The crucified and risen Jesus then breathes on them the Holy Spirit. And I can't help to think of the image of the Holy Trinity, of the Father as the lover, the Son as the beloved, and the Holy Spirit as the love shared between the Father and the Son, the lover and the beloved. So that love between the Father and the Son is now breathed on all disciples of Jesus Christ. That love that's shared between the Father and the Son is breathed on all of us. And by that, we are brought into communion and relationship with God in a very profound and intimate way. Now, if anyone thought Jesus was blasphemous for forgiving sins, hold on to your seat. Because what does he tell his disciples? If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. Jesus is moving us out of our isolation, and we're brought into communion with God. And in our grief and in our fears, Jesus serves as a reminder that God has not abandoned us, that we are not alone. The ability to forgive sins is probably something that we just take for granted. We might not see it as radical, but it is truly radical. In the Jewish faith of Jesus' day and today, God alone can forgive sins. In fact, the holy day in Judaism known as Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement is a day in which people of the Jewish faith atone for their sin. Therefore, what we are saying is so radical because the access to the forgiveness of sins is constant. It's constant through the Christian community. As members of this new community known as the body of Christ, anyone can now extend this forgiveness to another. This is all part of that new way of being human, that new way of being community in the crucified and risen Christ. Notice Jesus does not ask us to isolate or shun people for their sins. Notice Jesus is not asking us to hold people captive because of their shortcomings. Jesus is not asking us to, he's not only asking us to forgive, giving us the authority to forgive people, but he's also asking us to release them from their burden. Releasing people from the burden of their sins, the burden that they're carrying with them, to bring them out from their isolation into fellowship with the holy community known as the church. Jesus is alive, my sisters and brothers. Jesus lives, and we have new life through him by the forgiveness of sin. And the mission that we're called to carry out in this world is to announce and share that forgiveness and that new life that we have in his name. The good news that we have in the crucified and risen Jesus is the persistence of our Lord. He keeps seeking us out. Jesus is not giving up on us. Remember in John's Gospel, Mary Magdalene, just before our scene today in John chapter 20, has told the disciples that she has seen the Lord. None of them seem to believe her. And then Jesus appears to the other disciples, except for Thomas. And Thomas doesn't believe. The God that is revealed to us in the scriptures, from the creation of the world to the Word made flesh at Christmas, from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, this God who is always faithful to unfaithful people persists in pursuing us. This God's not going to give up on you. He would then reveal himself to Thomas, as we hear today. And we, too, hear some assurance that the disciples are not reporting a hallucination or a ghost. They're encountering a resurrected body, a real body that has been transformed and glorified. Yet the marks of the crucifixion remain. Even in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you can't avoid or ignore the cross. That's what I've been hammering in throughout Lent, right? You can't avoid the cross. And in the resurrection, you can't avoid it. The marks, the wounds remained. And it is a reminder that the one we put our faith, hope, and trust in is the one who was crucified and risen for our sake. I know my internship supervisor, he lifted up Thomas as one to be admired because Thomas wanted to worship the real thing. He wanted to see the wounds and the marks for himself. The wounds are a testament to our Lord's persistence and a witness to our salvation. A glorified body with the wounds still present gives us an image of the kind of people that we are to be in this world because we are sent. We hear that in our gospel lesson today. The crucified and risen Jesus says to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." You are brought out of your isolation, and we are sent out together with liberating news and a ministry of promise to bring others into holy community, into new life and new love that we have in Jesus Christ. And that's a theme that we have in our other lessons. It's about being a new community in Jesus. As Matthew De La Roya puts it, Jesus likewise sends us into the world, empowered to do the same works. Of course, unexpected losses will come our way. Jesus never promised faith would be easy. But now our losses also become gifts. Because as we share our pain and suffering with others, they can trust that we really do know where they have been and where they are going. They can unlock their doors and let us sit with them in their sadness, no longer isolated, but together as the living body of Christ. As I shared with you last week, how powerful and healing the bereavement group that I've been part of has been. That's what we're getting at here. People that will unlock their doors and allow us to come in and to journey with them. We share our losses and our pain. We listen to their loss and their pain, and we point to the joyful hope that we have in Jesus Christ. On this second Sunday of Easter, we're pulled out of our isolation and called to live and function as a community in a variety of ways. We're reminded in all our lessons that fellowship is more than just social get-togethers. Fellowship is a commitment to each other, it's a commitment to the community, and it's a commitment to all those that God has called us to minister to. Fellowship is walking with each other, sharing what we have, sharing our time, talent, and treasure with one another and the community at large. Our joy is complete in Christ, and we know him to be, as we heard in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We're not called to isolate ourselves with this good news. We cannot isolate ourselves with this news. Let us not live in fear, but in love. In the love with the God who is love. In the love with the God who has breathed the Holy Spirit on us. The God who has given us the authority to announce the forgiveness of sins. To share with them the new life that everyone has in this world through Jesus Christ. Let us not live just for ourselves, but as Christ lived, for all people. Let us share of ourselves and what God has blessed us with so that others may hear, see, and believe through our witness as members of the body of Christ. Let us live into the reality of having life in the name of Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We hold the death of the Lord deep in our hearts.
say what we believe in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Alive in the risen Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, we bring our prayers before God, who promises to hear us and answer in steadfast love. You shower your church with grace, O God. Unite the whole church on earth so that with one heart it testifies to the resurrection of Jesus Christ with power and love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Sarah, our dean, Adam, our pastor, for all pastors, deacons, and all who minister in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You proclaim the blessing of life forevermore. Like dew upon the mountains, refresh your creation. Restore waters, cleanse the air, and provide revitalizing moisture to parched land. Give your whole creation the promise of new life. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You direct the nations, O God. Guide all in authority that they shepherd their peoples in the way of your love. Defeat in us our impulse to war. Bestow the peace of Christ upon those in authority and breathe upon them the Holy Spirit. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You place within the heart of the church a spirit of sharing. Give us the power of your generous spirit that we provide for the needs of others. Announce your peace to those who are lonely, hurting, suffering, or afraid. This evening, especially, we pray for Ron, Kylie, Matt, Tracy, Susie, Scott, Tim, Vincent, Pat, Dina, Candace. We thank you, Father, for your abiding presence with Candace this week with her major surgery. And we praise you now for her healing, and we ask that you would continue the work in her, Father. We lift to you Ellie, Stan, Marlene and her family, Ken, Blaine, Robin, Michelle, Rhonda, Diane, John, Gloria, Megan, Rob, Leah, Lori, Frank, and are homebound. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You give us fellowship with one another in this faith community. Shine the light of the risen Christ in our heart, our life together, so that we may live in love for one another and our joy might be complete. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
We pray for those in our armed services and their chaplains. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
You share the gift of eternal life. In thanksgiving and remembrance, we recall the lives and gifts of those who now live in endless joy. Invite us with them in resurrection hope. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. In the hope of new life in Christ, we raise our prayers to you, trusting in your never-ending goodness and mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, holy.
Give you thanks, Father, through Jesus Christ, your beloved Son, whom you sent in this end of all the ages to save and redeem us and to proclaim to us your will. He is your word, inseparable from you, through whom you created all things and in whom you take delight. He is your word, sent from heaven to a virgin's womb. He there took on our nature and our lot and was shown forth as your Son, born of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He, our Lord Jesus, fulfilled all your will and won for you a holy people. He stretched out his hands in suffering and ordered free from suffering those who trust you. He is the one, handed over to a death he freely accepted, in order to destroy death, to break the bonds of the evil one, to crush hell underfoot, to give light to the righteous, to establish his covenant, and to show forth the resurrection. Taking bread and giving thanks to you, said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering then his death and resurrection, we take this bread and cup, giving you thanks that you have made us worthy to stand before you and to serve you as your priestly people. Send your Spirit upon these gifts of your church. Gather into one all who share this bread and wine. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to establish our faith in truth, that we may praise and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, through whom all glory and honor are yours, Almighty Father, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, both now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Distribution of the sacrament will be us coming to your vehicles with the consecrated bread and consecrated wine or grape juice. Just indicate your preference as we arrive. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready.
Let us pray. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Amen.
As Christ sends us out into the world, let us recite the mission God has given us.
St. John Lutheran Church Windfall is centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacraments, sent into the community to share the love of Jesus.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.